Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. It is your sports bros, Rop and Souk.
What's
going on?
Just hot Al War talk. People, by the way, on the Bet Today text line, very opinionated about the Civil War going on right now with the Owls.
Why? What do they say?
Well, I guess they're saying that the spotted owl needs to be protected because the barred owl has more territory. And so that, there's plenty of room for both. But it's trying to be a real Richard about the whole thing and trying to take over everything.
Right. But where does it stop, Jace? You know, like, isn't this just how the owls are going to... This is
nature, right?
Yeah, this is how it works.
Except we kill everything, so it's only a matter of time before we wipe out all the owls.
Well, do we just kill them in perpetuity?
No, I think the whole point is you kill enough of them so that they leave the spotted owls alone. And then eventually they learn a lesson, like maybe you hang a couple of the other owls up. like a horse
head in one of their beds.
Yeah, something like that. It was that movie like Unforgiven, right? You just put a sign up in front of the owl saloon, nail it up there. This is what happens to assassin owls.
All right, well...
You can go Theon and hang non-owls up and pretend like they are owls.
Oh, there you go. Let's do that. Fake owls. Little owl decoys.
Coming up this hour, LeBron is a communist, and we have audio to prove it.
Well, he's taking a lot of flack over this, and he probably should.
Are we getting the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll see about that. Lot of big talk.
We have big NFL trade news today. Now, tonight in the club, I've got a flurry of... celebrity news. You know, Felicity Huffman started her painstaking 14-day sentence today.
Whatever will she do? And I'm sure she's in general pop too, right?
Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah.
Tom and Giselle can't sell their mansion. What will they ever do? And
buy another one?
Also, the male madam of Hollywood, they call him the male madam of the stars, has died.
Isn't that just a pimp?
Yes, and he died. He's 96. He'd been old. He was old.
96? Yeah, was he still in the pimp game?
No. This is the guy that back in the day would... Because, you know, you couldn't be gay in Hollywood.
No.
You can now.
Yes.
You couldn't then.
No, it was not okay.
And
like
this
Mr.
is a guy...
Brady was gay, but you couldn't. You just had to keep it all on the hush-hush.
Right. So this is the guy that would secretly set up sexcapades for... the more experimental of the Hollywood starlets.
Interesting.
And he wrote a book about it. He is now passed.
I don't like that the women get fancy terms like madam and men just get stuck with pimp. We need like a fancy name if we're in this game.
Well, like I said, is male madam okay?
No. See, that the whole madam, you can't be a madam in a male.
But he's a male madam.
He's a pimp.
Okay, well... Yeah. I'll let you work on that.
But there's a negative connotation to that, whereas madam has, there's some flair to it. It's dramatic.
How about sexual facilitator?
There you go. How about that?
A conduit.
Back then, he probably provided a pretty valuable service for
he
people.
He said he did a lot of different things.
Oh.
And I mean a lot.
I bet. It's a different time.
That'll be the club 6 to 7. But we've got a lot of sports news to get to. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
No! Do you have restless genitals? Souk? And I did not have a chance to get it up.
Number five.
Infali Dante, ineligible for the first 9 games of the upcoming college basketball season. Now, who is that, you ask? Good question.
Thank you.
He's the 5-star freshman center for Oregon. Now, he graduated high school early and he reclassified for the 2019 season, so the problem is he's yet to be cleared by the NCAA. He says he wants to enroll on December 14th, But, you know, Oregon plays Michigan that night, but he will not be able to play in that game, most likely.
So you said, how many games is he ineligible for?
Well, nine.
Nine.
And it could be more, because you know how the NCAA is.
Sure. A lot of red tape and dragging your feet.
Yeah, but he's supposedly really good. He's a big 6'11 kid.
In a study development, I remember when we were talking about this when he signed, raw, supremely talented.
Yeah, basically the Dana Altman archetype. You know? He always gets these guys. Yeah.
A more talented Boucher.
Number four.
Patriots defensive end Michael Bennett has been suspended one game by his team for conduct detrimental.
I guess he freaked out on his position coach and they got into a heated argument. A lot of people are asking why the Patriots just didn't cut him loose because Bennett's pissed about playing time. He's not playing a big role. And I read today a lot of rumors going around that the Patriots don't want to cut him because they figure he'll end up in a place like Kansas City or another, contending team, and they don't want that to happen.
Okay, but they don't like him enough to play him, but they like him enough to keep him, so they keep him away from other teams. That's a little weird, but that's how the Patriots roll.
Supposedly, that's what's going on in New England.
Well, did you see the coach he got into it with?
Yeah, his position coach.
Brett Bielema.
Bielema's their defensive line coach?
I don't know if he's their defensive line coach, but that's who he got into it with.
I didn't know Bielema was there.
On Friday. Yeah, right after the Giants game. You know, they played Thursday against the Giants. Friday morning, he gets into it with Bielema. Then they have Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, and he was not at team activities today.
Didn't you say, Suk, defensive line coach, the most BS job in the NFL?
Yes. And I'm not trying to disparage all of them, but look, I've seen a lot of defensive line coaches, and what they do is they just yell and scream a lot and tell you to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. Like, hey, pal. See that quarterback?
Yeah.
Hit him.
Keith Millard was the defensive line
coach.
And
don't get a penalty.
Keith Millard, the old Vikings defensive line, was the defensive line coach in Denver. And all he did was challenge players to fight. He thought he could still, like, whoop someone's ass. Like, that's all he did.
Grab that debit card. Oregon Lottery's sports betting app called Scoreboard is set to be released tomorrow.
Yes, they said between Tuesday and Thursday of this week, and
reports are, because Oregon Lottery hasn't said this.
No,
it's a report that it will be out tomorrow.
Well, this would fall in the timeline of between Tuesday and Thursday. So get your degenerate gambling ready. No college sports.
Why does it have to be degenerate gambling? It's legal now. It's just gambling.
Isn't all gambling in some ways?
You have a bad attitude. By the way, $250,000 limit to your account.
Oh,
so don't plan
why
on.
Why do I even bother at
don't
this point?
Don't plan on dumping more than $250,000 in there.
They also said even if they were to get a bet of $250,000, they'd probably not take it.
Yeah, they can vet those, but their limit is $250,000. I mean, you can put up to $250,000 in there.
Yikes,
that's crazy. ALCS Game 3, Astros Yankees in New York. All Garrett Cole. He did walk 5 and gave up 4 hits, but did not give up a run. He is now 19-0 in his last 24 starts. The Astros beat the Yankees 4-1, taking a 2-1 series lead.
What stinks is Garrett Cole did not have his best stuff, and there were so many opportunities with the Yankees with 2 on and in scoring position, and just couldn't figure out a way to scratch some runs across.
The game likely rained out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's looking like tomorrow's game will be postponed due to weather. NLCS is back at it tonight as well. Nationals can sweep the Cardinals with the win. It's Patrick Corbin against Dakota Hudson. When the Nationals make the World Series, that will leave the Mariners as the only Major League team not to appear in the Fall Classic.
Ouch.
That John, hurts. Not happy.
That stings a little bit. That hurts.
Number one.
And number one, NFL trades today. The Rams involved in all of them.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, this is a lot to give up, even for a very talented player.
So this just happened this last hour. The Los Angeles Rams have traded for disgruntled Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey. They will give up 2 first-round picks, one next year and one in 2021, and a fourth-round pick for Ramsey, whose back injury will now suddenly clear up.
Yes, he's been dealing with so many issues, but he'll be surprisingly fine. And you know, they've got him for the rest of this year and then one more year on a pretty good deal. And then after that, you know, he'll only be 26 and he's going to want the largest contract for a DB. you just wonder if this isn't just the Rams realizing that once these extensions start kicking in, that this is by far their best opportunity, and they're going all in to win over the next 2 years. I mean, I know they need help in the secondary, but they also need help along the offensive line, and this is a steep price to pay.
They did make an offensive line trade today. The Rams dealt an undisclosed pick to the Browns for Austin Corbett, who was a second-round pick in 2018, because the Rams lost Noteboom to a season-ending knee injury on Sunday against the Niners, so they pulled off that trade. The Rams also dealt Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters to the Ravens for a fifth-round pick, and linebacker Kenny Young. So Peters is in the final year of his rookie deal. Young started six games for Baltimore before falling out of favor. So the Rams doing a lot of shuffling today. But, hey, Jalen Ramsey's a hell of a corner, man. You can't deny that.
No, he instantly makes their secondary that much better, and they know they need help there, but I think they need help along the offensive line. And Trent Williams, by the way, who's still all-pro tackle for the Redskins, trade deadline 2 weeks away. Today, we actually heard the first supposedly legitimate rumor, and that's Cleveland trying to get their hands on Trent Williams. But if I'm the Rams, I certainly would make that call as well, because he would be a huge upgrade for the Rams.
Well, you remember the Rams lost to Aqib Talib.
Yep.
He went on injured reserve. He has a rib injury. So I'm not really sure why they dealt Marcus Peters. I guess it's just control, right? This is last year of his rookie deal. They didn't want to pay him. So they upgrade with Jalen Ramsey, hope to get Talib back. And they're, boy, I tell you what, Ramsey and Talib across from one another.
Well, and Peters has been he's been a bit spotty, right?
Well, like I said, they're not going to pay him.
No.
So this way, you buy an extra year, like you said, and you upgrade. I mean, Ramsey's better than Peters.
Yes.
So you lose several picks, but then you get a linebacker, Kenny Young. I mean, I don't know how good he is, but you know, they got him too.
I'll have to look him up now. Corbett, the lineman they traded for, Pro Football Focus has him at a 60, which is not very good. That's bad.
Yeah, there's probably a reason the Browns are trading him. But.
Well, the Browns' offensive line sucks, and so if they're willing to give you up, that means that you're not very good. So, I mean, there's still holes there, but it could be an interesting trade deadline because there's a lot of bad teams that are tanking or looking for draft capital, and I don't think there's a team out there that doesn't have a legitimate need, that doesn't have a hole.
All right, coming up, LeBron's a commie. The Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. 512 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, well, LeBron done stepped in it, and we'll get to that momentarily. But first, the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app is due out tomorrow. Now, we've yet to hear that officially from them, which should make you nervous.
Yeah, because this thing's been pushed back so many times.
But this from CNBC.
You want to guess who wrote it? Former Trailblazers beat reporter Jabari Young.
I just noticed that. He's at CNBC now?
Yeah, I checked. I was like, is that the same guy? Yeah, it is.
Huh.
Well, all right.
Jabari Young. He used to, so he left here. He was here for a hot second.
Yeah.
Covering the Blazers, and then he went to cover the Spurs. And now he's at CNBC.
Well, go him. Breaking news about the new sports app.
So they're saying it will be out tomorrow, but we'll wait and see. Here's what's in his story. He said, after numerous delays, officials went through the final test over the weekend. They gave six players, two on each platform, iOS, Android, and desktop, $100 each to test the service by placing bets on games in real time, even allowing them to keep their winnings. The final run-through was to ensure users won't have any trouble depositing, betting, or withdrawing money. Oregon Lottery Director Barry Pack met with the app's project team Monday, where he gave final approval for the launch.
All right, Barry.
The Oregon Lottery spokesman, I think his name's Matt Shelby. He's been on The Fan a few times. He says, we are not anticipating any surprises. So beginning tomorrow, cross your fingers.
Allegedly.
You'll be able to sports bet legally in Oregon. And this is great. So basically what you can do is you can link it to whatever debit card, credit card, whatever you want, and load it up for your account for as much as $250,000.
Yikes.
And you can start betting on pretty much everything with the exception of college sports. They will not let you bet on college football and basketball. Mike and I were just talking about that. I'm actually not sure why.
I don't know. I think there's an element of amateurism, and those the players that could be easily, swayed into throwing games, or do you want the college kids gambling on their own sport? I just think that a lot of places are going to try to steer clear of that simply because of the quote-unquote amateur model.
As we know, pretty much it's all about money, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't really know why, like, you would cost yourself that much revenue with that concern. Maybe there's more to it than
I don't know. But
legally,
it doesn't involve the NCAA, you know, because it used to be the NCAA wouldn't allow you to hold championship events or, like, the, you know, NCAA tournament if you had gambling. And that's why they had to get rid of sports action in order to get the NCAA tournament here. But that went away. The NCAA was like, all right, there's too many states that have legalized this. So that's off the table. So my guess is it's just a matter of, I don't know, the state not being comfortable, again, gambling on amateurism.
So Shelby said, in regards to the $250,000 in your account, we're not obligated to take all wagers. So if someone came in theoretically and had $250,000 in their account and tried to put that down on a single game, it would be met with heavy scrutiny. And frankly, I'd be surprised if we took it. So not every bet will be reviewed, but SB Tech, that's the company they farmed out to handle it all, has the authority to review individual bets and flag anyone to lottery officials that looks fishy for additional screening.
Yeah, and this goes the same. There's not a sports book in the world that doesn't have this. And if a bunch of money starts coming in on one thing, you know, everyone wants to take a look at it to make sure everything is on the up and up.
Officials aren't charging consumer fees in hopes of attracting more business. Players can make bets, deposit, and withdraw money hassle-free. With our app, you get paid in real dollars back to your account that you can immediately withdraw, as opposed to hanging around waiting for your Bitcoin to come in from your offshore book. In Oregon, the regulatory structure is such that we will be the only legal mobile book available to players in the state. According to the American Gaming Association, more than $150 billion is wagered illegally on sports betting in the United States every year via online, offshore, corner bookies, whatever people's appetite was, said Casey Clark, who is a communications guy for American Gaming Association.
There is going to be a location on this, though. So, like, the people in Washington, you are going to have to drive across the river in order to do this. That's like the old sports action days. We used to drive across to Original Joe's in Jansen Beach, and that's where we'd place our wagers.
Yep, it's geofenced.
I wonder if you can just, like, sit on the bridge and just pull over on the side. Like, the cop shows up. I'm like, no, I just need to go over here and place my bets that I'd pull over here at the airport.
Well, if they were smart, they'd open up a little chop shop over there and let people pull in and place their wagers and then pull out. Maybe set up some coffee and
some snacks and whatnot.
Yeah, maybe a couple TVs.
Like a bikini. What is that? Like the bikini beans barista. Right. Just have that. Have some hot ladies dancing around in there.
They say after exploring projections for the app, lottery officials are anticipating users to wage roughly $300 million in the first year, of which the state is projecting gross revenues of $5 million. Whoa. The Oregon Lottery could be generating $30 million or more in annual revenue by the third year as the costs of running the app fall.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot of development and startup costs.
Somebody asked, what's the juice? I would imagine, just like anything else, 10%, but I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that would be only on winnings.
But make no mistake about it, dude. People, you don't lose money opening sports books, right?
What?
They don't build those casinos.
I thought Trump did.
That is true.
Didn't he lose money in the casino business?
He did. His went bankrupt. But for the most part, casinos don't go bankrupt. They don't keep building them because they lose money.
What else? There was one other thing I was going to tell you. And I don't remember. The Blazer angle from Jabari's article. He said Scoreboard will also offer in-game betting to allow players to take advantage of real-time game situations. So I'm not really into that because that moves a little faster than my brain. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that's like, hey, who will score the next bucket?
Yeah, or
say you're watching a Blazer game. Who will score the next bucket? Who will win the quarter?
It won't be that fast as far as who scores the next bucket, but you will get things.
It is in Vegas.
Well, and the lines will move throughout the game, so you can bet
exactly
a game in like the second quarter if you feel a certain way and you get better value or something.
That's going to be more what's going to happen is the spread will change quite a bit. You know, where we were talking about the game where the Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning, and all of a sudden the over-under changes, and you can bet it for the rest of the game. So I think it's more going to be geared towards that.
Well, but it's the same thing. It's like it moves fast. It's like in a basketball game, if it's 79-60, and the team that was the underdog is winning 79-60, they'll have a live number that you can bet. But the second there's another basket, that number changes. Like you really got to be on top of that stuff. So I don't know how many people will get into that, but it says the Oregon Lottery already has a sponsorship agreement with the Portland Trail Blazers, and both sides expressed excitement about the possibilities of enhancing that relationship via the app. Blazers CEO Chris McGowan said the app has potential to broaden the Trailblazers fan base among Oregonians. The addition of sports betting is exciting, and look forward to exploring potential opportunities to expand our partnership. Boy, that's super vague, but they're like, yeah, we're all for it.
Well, yeah,
let's do this.
It makes millions upon millions of dollars. Why wouldn't? And it provides people with great entertainment. And the one that I always hate is that, oh, it's going to lead to gambling problems. I cannot stand that level of thinking. As if there's just people sitting around right now and their lives are perfectly happy, and then sports gambling comes along, right? People have problems. Everything can be abused.
Here's what I can tell you is that the second that thing comes out tomorrow, I'm loading up my account and I will report back tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
On the show about everything you need to know.
And then we'll have, Meat live talking about how his college fund has been wasted away on Rop's hot NFL bets.
Well, there's no NFL game tomorrow, but there is a baseball game if they play it.
Can you bet?
Yankees, Astros.
NBA preseason.
Oh, yeah. The Blazers play the Jazz tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Wouldn't that be something your first legal bet is?
NBA preseason?
NBA preseason action. That's fantastic.
My first ever legal bet was for a draw in a Premier League match, and I got it right.
Really?
Yeah, remember when I went to Vegas and I put my first ever bet down?
That is true.
It was on a draw.
You bet a draw.
I did.
Like, no one would win. You bet that it would tie.
Yes.
And it was right.
Yeah.
I don't remember what my
first draw
was. The draw was plus 220, too, so I did pretty well in value there.
I don't remember what my first legal bet was.
I don't either. There have been a lot of them.
Yeah, there have. I mean, it's...
And illegal, but... Now it's all legal, so I wonder how many people... That's going to be our poll question tomorrow. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, but how many people are actually going to dig into this and bet that hadn't bet before? I think a lot of people just bet anyway, they'll just do it this way now because it's all on the up and up, and it's much easier.
I think a lot of people will. We talk about gambling, and we have for years. I don't know about you, but I get a ton of people that either email or direct message on Twitter or whatever, and they're always asking... What site do you use? Is it safe? Is it comfortable? I think there's a ton of people out there that are going to sign up for this that weren't willing to do the offshore thing.
That's me.
Yeah. I just think the offshore thing freaks a lot of people out. And if you're Washington, you can't even sign up for it. You have to have an address over in Portland or in Oregon. I think this is going to be a big deal for people.
By the way, Cardinals, if they hadn't already self-imploded, have completely imploded.
Uh-oh.
Colton Wong dropped a clear out at second, which kept the bases loaded, and then that pop-up into right field, the second baseman and the right fielder just let it drop in between them.
And there's another hit.
And now it's going to be 5-0 in the first inning.
Yikes.
Dude.
The Cardinals are... Dude. They struck out at least their first two batters in the first inning. They were mentally done already.
So are the Nationals going to do to the Cards what the Cards did to the...
10-0?
They're trying.
Who are they playing? Oh, the Braves.
Yeah, Atlanta.
They dropped 10 in the first inning. Look at old Shield.
Well, who's on the mound for the Cards?
Dakota Hudson.
So he got one out, and he's getting yanked in the first.
They still have two on. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, there's Left Shark. Oh. Why is Left Shark in the crowd?
Because the Nats thing this entire
baby season's
been Baby Shark. Yeah.
I was like, what? Why is Left Shark? Oh, yeah, Baby Shark.
Oh, I wanted to give you something, too, from the Coin6 website. They followed up with Chinook Winds, because Chinook Winds Casino out there on the coast.
They have a book.
They opened a live sports book where you can go in there and bet on sports there in the casino. And they followed up with them, say, hey, how's it going? And they said they weren't really, I mean, they're not going to give you their numbers, basically. But these are the numbers that they did give. And they said that gambling revenue is up roughly 15% since that thing opened. And more importantly, the casino exceeded its own projections for the first full month of operations by 10%.
Dude, gambling, sports gambling works, plain and simple.
All right, LeBron James.
Everyone hates him.
Yes, they do.
Except for the Chinese. They love him.
He is public enemy number one. We'll play you the clip of what he said and why everyone's on his ass when we get back. It's 5:28. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Talking hot, though, by the way, the Washington Nationals 7-0. By the way, in the first inning, and that'll about do it.
So they tried to do to the Cardinals what the Cardinals did to the Braves.
They did.
Almost did it.
But they only got 7. Although something tells me that the Cardinals, they're not coming back. Can you find a team that looks more defeated right now than the Cardinals?
Well, they didn't show up to the series. The whole series.
Haven't hit the entire time. In fact, I don't think a starting pitcher given up a run?
I don't believe so. No.
Did Strasburg give up one?
He might have given up one in like the 7th, but that might have been the bullpen too. I can't remember.
I mean, geez. I get the Nationals are, I guess the Nationals are good.
Yeah, Strasburg gave up an unearned run.
Okay.
that count?
So that's the only run that a starting pitcher in this series has given up for the Washington Nationals.
Yes.
I mean, boy, just rolling over and dying. And who's the starting pitcher for the Cardinals that went the other night?
The other night?
Yeah, that hadn't given up a run in like a...
Oh, Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name.
I was like, they've had multiple pitchers there the last few nights.
I don't know why I couldn't come up with his name. But he had been beyond dominant. I mean, he had been untouchable. And he got tagged up. I mean, that whole team is just dead in the water. So I guess if you're a Nationals fan, go Nats. I mean,
first ever World Series appearance.
I know they're going to be massive underdogs, but we've seen this before. In fact, the Cardinals did this a number of years ago where they only won 80 something games and backed their way into the postseason and then went on and won the whole stinking thing. There's something about momentum, and they'll be big underdogs to the Yankees or the Astros, whoever comes out of the American League. But I don't know, there's just something about the Nationals right now that I certainly wouldn't count them out.
I also think if they win this game today, which they should, they're going to be doing a lot of waiting around for that World Series. Because, I mean, I can see this Yankees-Astros series going to 7 more than I can see it ending in 5, you know? So if that happens, then that could kill some momentum too.
Yeah. But again, if this series goes long, you're going to have a rested pen and be able to line up your arms however you want them if you're the Nationals, because this thing's over. And like you said, that Astros-Yankee series is going to go for quite some time. All right, let's get to the LeBron thing here. So take you back, if you don't know. So Daryl Morey, who is Houston Rockets, their GM, he sent out what was a very just, I don't know, I thought it was a very tepid at best tweet, basically in support of the protests that are going on right now in Hong Kong. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't like it was a strongly worded thing condemning the Chinese government. Just said something to the effect of that he supported the protesters in Hong Kong and their right to free speech and freedom. And that obviously set off a huge S-storm with the Chinese government and the NBA. And that's huge business. And the NBA has just been up to their neck in trying to decide between what do you do? Do you side with people seeking freedom and the freedom of speech, or do you side with a totalitarian communist government machine, but one that means billions of dollars to you? So it's kind of between a rock and a hard spot. And then other players have kind of been reluctant to speak out. Even Steve Kerr has punted on this.
He said he didn't know enough about it yet for him to make a real comment.
Yes.
Which seems a little bit like malarkey, because I'm sure Steve Kerr is well-read and researched on all these kind of things.
Well, do you have to be well-read and researched to know that the Chinese government isn't a wonderful organization? Right? I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar company with a government backing and can do whatever the hell they want. I mean, it's spooky stuff over there, but it means business for everybody. I mean, everyone has business dealings over there. Like I said, my guess is that 90% of what you have in your house and what you're wearing on your back is made somewhere in China. Well, finally, we got an NBA player, the NBA player, to speak out on this issue. And this was LeBron James, and these were his comments, and they did not go over very well.
I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl. But Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
He was uneducated, so he was uneducated in what aspect? The fact that he tweeted support for people that were, I don't know.
Wasn't his tweet just human rights, freedom? Two basic sentences?
Yeah.
You know, like freedom of speech, support Hong Kong or something like that?
Yeah, but he was uneducated. Something tells me that the education that LeBron wanted there was don't hurt my business dealings in China because it's worth $1 billion to my brand.
Also, and LeBron was stuck in China when this had happened. So I do wonder what...
Yeah, because the Lakers were over there playing, was it the Nets?
Whoever, I don't know.
They were over there playing in a preseason game.
And I wonder how it was for them in China when that happened, because they were tearing down signs. They were painting over logos. I mean, the Chinese government is just...
Yeah, they're not letting this go.
They're just canceling the NBA, essentially, in that country.
This is not going to go quietly. In fact, they still held the game.
Right.
But if you look on any internet site in the country, it didn't exist. No one covered it. It wasn't on TV. It was if it just didn't happen.
And a ton of companies that have been, you know, having endorsement deals and stuff, all pulling out of those deals, including the shoe company that CJ was endorsed by, the Li Nang, or however you say it, the one that was there. They're not connected to the NBA or the U.S. anymore, at least for now. I mean, China's taking this seriously. So I wonder, when LeBron was there in the country, how was he treated poorly? I mean, was he getting threats, or was it just awkward and he was just upset about that? Because that comment to me was more that he was upset that he was stuck there when it happened versus he's worried about his business dealings. But either way, it's still, you can't say that.
No, but for LeBron James...
You can say that, you're just going to be ridiculed.
But for LeBron James to say this is clearly about one thing and one thing only. It's about the bottom line, right? He had a chance. He basically is saying that Daryl Morey was wrong for tweeting support for people that are looking for basic rights. And for a guy like LeBron James and the rest of the NBA that has tried to fancy themselves as a very progressive sort of league. And I think this is where a lot of the blowback comes from. And by the way, I think it's 100% warranted, right? They have no problem speaking up about the situations we have in our country, right? And by the way, I support their right to do that. Right. They've tweeted about our president. They've tweeted about our government. They've tweeted about police brutality. And I 100% back them in all of those things. Right. You have every right to use your platform as a social media influencer, as an athlete, to try to move it along in a positive direction. 100% on board with that. Right. Including the Black Lives Matter movement and the I Can't Breathe T-shirts that some of the NBA players wore. But when it comes to the Chinese government, which there isn't a debate here. There just isn't.
They are a communist regime.
Yes. It's awful. An absolutely awful communist regime. But you have business dealings with it, and then you try to come out and you take this weird hodgepodge stance of, well, he was misinformed and it could hurt people. And he even said financially. My God. Like, how self-centered.
I think the thing, too, if you did some research on this, if you're anybody, and it's not something that I was necessarily super intelligent about up until all this stuff started, but I did do a little bit of research, and apparently, from what I was reading, the people in Hong Kong aren't even asking for that much.
It was over the masks.
Yeah. I mean, it's just simple. They're asking for simple requests, but to a communist government that wants full control. They're not simple requests. But I thought it was like...
Yeah, one of the things was they wanted to wear the air masks.
Right, and the other one is they wanted to guarantee that the police wouldn't kill them if they did things. And because the Chinese police are going into Hong Kong and just having these essentially assaults on people who are protesting. But, I mean, I thought it was going to be like this huge, like they wanted to separate from China. No, they just wanted a little bit of respect, it felt like. And this is what the Chinese government is doing back to them. So it seems like a pretty obvious stance if you live in this country, which side you would take. But I guess that's where it's complicated because of all the money tied into China as a country. Not just for the NBA, but for us, right? How much debt do we have that's owed to China?
Well, someone said it's easy to be woke when you don't have a financial interest in it.
True.
And look, but we talked about this when this first happened. You know, we can sit over here all we want and try to play high and mighty and you know, take hardline stance. But, you know, we do business with people that do very, very bad things. Everything from the Middle East, if you want to look at what's going on in Turkey and certainly what goes on in China, there's human atrocities all over the earth that we look the other way if it suits us financially. I just think it's a really, really poor look when you're LeBron James and that's the first words out of your mouth is you call him misinformed. And by the way, Daryl Morey has said, you know, that he knows people, he has friends that live over there, that he's not misinformed. And all he was doing was saying that he supported people in one tweet. And then LeBron said that. It's hard to be a social activist as LeBron James has tried to do. And then when it really came down to it, when push came to shove, you took the coward's way out.
And you were waiting for LeBron too,
yes.
Right? You were waiting for Steve Kerr and you were waiting for Popovich and you're waiting for LeBron. Those are the three guys in the NBA you were waiting for to speak out about this. And I think Popovich was probably, I don't want to say the best answer, but maybe the most acceptable answer if you want to go that way.
Yeah.
And then LeBron and Kerr just kind of went, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Kerr just said nothing. He just didn't want to talk about it. And LeBron basically supported communism in his comment. I do wonder, too, how different would this have been if Daryl Morey tweeted this out today when everyone was home?
Yeah.
How different is that? Do all these players, are they rallying around Daryl Morey, or does it change?
He took a coward's way out. I think Steve Kerr took a coward's way out. You know, when he said that he punted on it, but they came back and the same thing, he didn't want to get involved in it. And then you had LeBron James that basically chose LeBron James and he chose making money over supporting democracy and supporting freedom and basically the right to support those people. He didn't even have to come out and support the people of Hong Kong. But to say that someone was out of bounds by supporting that in a tweet, it's to me, LeBron James has done a pretty good job over his career in navigating very difficult waters. And I think this is the first time that he has really stepped in it and really, really looks poor. And quite frankly, I was disappointed. I like LeBron James. I think he can be insufferable, but for the most part, I like him. I was disappointed in this.
Well, I was great in that segment.
Boy, you were good.
And now I'd like to tell everyone that we have to break.
Okay.
So I'm clearly in bed with China because I was held,
yeah,
duct taped.
You didn't want to talk about it.
I cannot.
Coward.
Took the coward's way
right
out.
Which is more cowardly,
Steve Kerr?
Which is more cowardly? If LeBron just went and just like took the high road like Kerr, or did this, is worse?
I think what he did was worse.
Yeah,
Steve Kerr.
I agree.
Steve Kerr took a coward's way out. I think LeBron James stuck a knife in someone's back that didn't deserve it, and it's 100% for selfish financial reasons.
Yeah, but LeBron's always been selfish, so he's just all about himself. It's part and parcel with LeBron's. It's like. Straight out of his playbook,
he wants
man.
To sell more shoes, and he wants to have Space Jam 2 open in China.
That's like on brand for him. All right, coming up next, Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. 5:45 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Isn't it funny how I was just listening to that Andro 400 ad?
Yeah.
Boost my tea.
Gotta have it.
Melt that belly fat. Well, isn't it funny how that's like Andro was the substance that Mark McGwire became the worst person in the world for?
Yeah, and you can't have that. It's the stuff Mark McGwire was on is now it's banned. So but they use that name because
right.
it's recognizable.
It's just funny that now we have ads for that
yeah.
name.
Like, well, they used to give that to us in college and then it was no. But yeah, back in the day you could buy that like off the shelf.
Yeah. All right.
And that's how that whole thing started is he had a bottle of that in his locker.
Right. Reporter asked about
it. And reporter was like, what's that? What's that bottle there? It's amazing the different stuff that was given athletes back in the 90s and no one seemed to have any sort of care around it. Now we view it completely differently, but there's 1,000 things out there now that, you know, whatever you're looking for, an estrogen blocker, a testosterone booster, this to speed up your metabolism. I mean, I knew guys that in the NFL, Romanowski was this way. Thomas Jones was this way. Shannon Sharp. I mean, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on wellness experts. I guess they would have like a wellness coach.
Man. That's the thing.
And they
gotta have a team.
Yep. They had a team and they did everything from, they would test their blood and their different levels and make sure that their testosterone was at legal, but peak legal levels and had all their meals prepared.
What about the championship level urine of the
yes.
Texas Longhorns?
Yes. They take it very, very seriously, Whereas, like, back in the day, it was like, I don't know, go eat a cheeseburger or something. Like, they told me to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to put weight on. Slightly different now.
Tuning in, the Rams got Jalen Ramsey from the Jags. But I wanted to read a couple of texts here. The Better You Today text line is 55305 about LeBroni's comments, which we played. LeBron, he says, this one says, the comparison of LeBron and Kerr, you all said, was good. Kerr's comments basically indicate he doesn't want to say how he feels because it would upset China.
Yes.
LeBron is worse because he's actively trying to appease them. Trying not to offend isn't as bad as appeasement, which is why I think you said LeBron is worse.
I think there's the
difference. But it's Kerr, man. I was really disappointed in Kerr
as well.
Because
he's
LeBron doesn't surprise me. Like, LeBron is always selfish. I don't think he's that smart. He's all he cares about is himself, so it doesn't really surprise me. I really was surprised by Steve Kerr because he has the reputation of, hey, I will say the right thing. Like, he's really good. People look to him for, like, hey, dude, give us some sanity. Tell us what you know galvanizes for us, and he usually does really, really well without the fear of retribution, and yet he absolutely punted.
Yes, because
and I'm thoroughly disappointed.
They're all terrified of the giant money bags and the influence that China has over the NBA and over you know, the pocketbooks of a lot of people that have business dealings over there, and that's the disappointing part. I mean, I get it, man. I get that there's a lot of business that goes on between the two countries, and I'm not naive enough to stand up here and say that I take some sort of hardline stance. I mean, I'm wearing boots right now, and if I'm not, my guess is my boots are probably made in China. I don't know for certain, but either my jeans or my T-shirt or my jacket or my car, you know, a lot of those things are made and manufactured over there. So I'm not trying to sit up here and say that no one should ever do business with China, but at the same time, don't take a coward's way out. And certainly don't do the LeBron James thing and say that someone is misinformed by promoting democracy. That's the problem that I have with this more than anything else. Is all Daryl Morey did was say, hey, man, I support some people trying to get some basic freedoms. And you're going to call that guy misinformed and say what he did was dangerous? Can it?
Yeah, the Chinese government is crazy, says another text. I was in Beijing a few years ago, and there are no homeless people in one of the biggest cities in the world. And it's because there are no homeless because the government, quote, takes care of the situation.
Yes.
It's insane. And it makes you really think about what freedom truly means.
Yeah. Enes Kanter, in response to LeBron James, had his little tweet that said, freedom isn't free, and talked about, like, what he went through in Turkey. And that's a guy that's trying to be like, hey, man, there's some really bad stuff going on over here. And, you know, you should never be embarrassed. And you should never.
No.
You should never, I don't know, be vilified for standing up for doing the right thing and basic freedoms.
When an American is pro-democracy and says as much, that should never, ever be vilified.
No.
And that's, well, and it's true. This text is LeBron's telling the NBA to shut up and dribble. There's quite a bit of irony in that.
Exactly.
And that's right, too.
It's 100%.
Because you remember, who was that that told him to shut up and dribble
when he was speaking out? It was either a politician or a Fox News person. Someone in the political scope told
Laura
him.
Laura Ingraham?
It might have been Laura Ingraham, the Ingraham angle, that told him to shut up and dribble.
Yeah. And another one says, I restated LeBron's statement. I care about human rights as long as it doesn't cost me money.
Yeah.
But what do we think about, like, Nike? Like, a lot of people bringing that up. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
We're all, you know, we all wear Nike gear, and there's a lot of businesses that do business with China. And so how are we to feel about that? Or is it just that out of sight, out of mind,
I think there's
until something like this comes up?
I think there's a lot of out of sight, out of mind. But at the same time, you shouldn't, I don't know, I just don't think you should be, you should ever feel ashamed for saying that people should have rights and freedom. I mean, maybe that's my coward's way out, because, you know, at the same time, I don't have any business dealings over there. And so maybe it's easy for me to say that because there's not $1 billion on the line for me. But I just don't think it's that hard to speak out for what's fundamentally right and let the chips fall where they may. And if that costs you some money, oh, well, does this really matter to LeBron James? Right. Like, how much money do you really need? Like, how much are you really afraid of this dinging your bottom line? I mean, stop it.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. Let's move on to the club, shall we?
Let's.
You ready to do that?
By the way, my boots are made in the United States, so I feel a little better now.
Really?
Yeah.
It says made in the USA right on there.
It does.
USA! USA! USA!
USA! But it's tough because
here, I'm going to take mine off. I'm going to see where mine is.
Because a lot of times, right, you have to pay a significant amount of money for the difference. and I know a lot of people can't or don't want to, and so it's a dicey thing.
My shoesies are made in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to be, I'm guessing, 90% of the people. You know, on any given day, the shoes I'm wearing are probably made in China or Vietnam or someplace
well-made
like
shoe,
that.
Too.
Yeah.
Where are yours from, Mike?
They're from China.
Ah, fascist. All right. Yeah. Okay. So I've got a crazy story for the club. Did you read this story out of, I think it was in Netherlands, where the family had been hiding out, waiting for the end of days?
Was this like, was it 9 years or something like that?
Yeah, they've been down there for 9 years.
Yeah. I saw this stroll across, but I have not dug.
Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you all about that story.
I did not dig super deep into that, but I did see that they were hiding out for 9 years.
Yeah, this is crazy. And celebrity news next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.